When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
BT, it's out back on the fan, a very special day. In a matter of minutes, Max Fried will be introduced as a member of the New York Yankees. Right now, we welcome in friend of the show, Susan Waldman, live at Yankee Stadium. Susan, happy holidays. How's it going out there?
It's great. We're just getting ready for this. I see someone's walking back and forth with flowers, so I guess we're getting close. Now, people are, we can't start till 12 o'clock because Yes is right next to me, and they go on right at noon, and then they're going to wait for them. So, now people are starting to come in, some of the family, and get seated here. And we'll be, there's Omar Minaya. I saw Matt Blake, who's actually wearing a suit and tie today. Very interesting. Hey, before we get to Max Fried, how about Devin Williams spending 10 days here and going to three different museums?
He's an intellectual guy. Just the opposite of me and Sal. He's a museum guy.
Wait a minute. Let's not get into that. By the way, Francesa called me the day after I was on with you and said, where should I go to see a Broadway show? And don't tell me to go see Thornton Wilder's Our Town.
That's funny. Did he go see Elf yet? That's where he's going.
I didn't know, Susan, that he was here for 10 days, so that's good. I mean, look.
He was here for 10 days. He went to the Museum of Natural History. He went to MoMA, Museum of Modern Art, and he went to the museum in Brooklyn. And you really have to know that that's there. I mean, that's not exactly the Metropolitan Museum. So, okay, here comes Jason Zillow. I'm waiting for the freeze to come in. There they are.
Yeah, it's been a good pivot so far by the Yankees, Susan. Really has been.
I love building a team. They're not done. I was told by three different people. We're going to start here in about 5 minutes. Jason Zillow is just giving notes about what's going to happen. I love this. This is my favorite thing, is building a team and not just spending money on a couple of people and going that way. So they are not done, I am told. And so we will see what happens.
I think it's paramount. I'm sure you'd agree. I mean, every great Yankee team has a first baseman who can hit. They've got to address that. Do you think that they would address first base and third base on a big level for both?
Well, they'd better get a third baseman here. If you're going to spend this money on Max Fried, you better have a real third baseman standing there, because that's what he does, and that's where the balls go, with a left-handed pitcher, that kind of pitcher. I don't know. I don't know whether Christian Walker. Don't forget, there are other people on this team that can. If nothing else happened, they're thinking DJ LeMahieu, Ben Rice, maybe you platoon over there. They need a third baseman. I'm not sure that you'd have DJ go over there and play again, because that's, you know, we've had so many injuries there. They got to do something at third base. Somebody has got to be standing there that knows what they're doing and isn't learning. That's just my feeling, because if you're going to spend this kind of money on this kind of pitcher, you better get a third baseman.
Let's say, Susan, that Bregman or Arenado or whatever, a real third baseman is in play. To BT's point, does that mean they're not going to spend that on a first baseman? It would be more Ben Rice, or you think both are in play?
I don't know. There are the other things. Maybe there are trades. There are, maybe there's a less expensive than a Christian Walker. Maybe there's a Santana out there. Maybe you go with, you know, do you try and, I don't think they'll ever do it, but do you try and pry Yandy Diaz away from the Rays? That'll never happen. But there are people out there that you could do without money that you could trade. And that's why they have a farm system. And I don't know what to do, but those are issues. And of course, you know, we'll talk to Brian Cashman today, and we'll talk to Matt Blake, and we'll talk to Aaron Boone, and they're going to tell us that everything is wonderful. And, you know, don't forget, I'm the one that Brian Cashman said right into my microphone, I am perfectly happy with Bubba Crosby playing center field for this team. And 4 weeks later, Johnny Damon was standing in center field.
Yeah.
But right now, this is what there is. And so far, I love this kind of thing, and they're trying to figure out how they're going to do this. There are people from, well, Max Fried's agent is also the same agent for Christian Walker, so
nice.
We'll see what they can do there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, you know what, there's only a...
There you go.
You know, unless you get, you know, like, security for the family.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Yeah, I did a little more research on that, on the suite and all that. I was caught unawares. I should have done a little more research on that. That really was a thing.
So, what was it?
And a few other things.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure was. Sure was. Sure.
Yanks wouldn't budge on that, huh?
Do you know what a suite cost to you know, that's
it,
probably
half a mil, right?
Yeah, I thought they said 500.
No, I think it's $500 to $1 million a year. Aaron, he's making, that's what the money is for. That's mm-hmm. why you give someone $700 million.
Right, so it was just principal then.
No, why should they do it? Then, well, then does Aaron Judge get a suite?
I agree with you, Susan.
No, I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And the bottom line on it, he obviously wanted to be over there. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm sorry. There's sometimes you just can't. Money doesn't do it. He wanted to be there. And the comments that you hear coming out of there, it's whatever. And I don't, you know, I hope he has a wonderful year. I kind of like making a team.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, when Cody Bellinger gets here, I will have covered both Cody and Clay Bellinger, which is really a scary thing.
Hey, listen, I'll really be impressed if you can hang on Cody Sunbase three generations.
Well, they have daughters, so I...
Okay.
Who knows, by then,
yeah.
Maybe we'll get, you know...
As long as she can hit, let's go.
Well, maybe by that time.
I have a question for you. So you, mm-hmm. you kind of, but I want your direct answer. You sound like me, where you're excited about certainly the prospects of building a team out, and nobody's going to suggest that whomever they bring in will be better individually as a hitter than Juan Soto.
No, of course not.
Yeah, nobody's saying that's just sheer stupidity.
Well, some of the callers have said that.
Yeah.
Well, that's okay. But that's okay. I don't believe that.
No,
I don't believe that.
Neither do I.
And they do, and they keep comparing. This is not Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen. It's a mm-hmm. totally different sport. And, you know, I'm not saying anything bad about Juan Soto. How can you? He's a brilliant, brilliant hitter. He's as good a hitter as I've ever seen. As good. I won't say better, but as good. I did see Ted Williams. But that's, but you can't, yes, I am old. I get it. Yes. But you can't, this is baseball. This is not basketball.
Baseball, Susan.
This is baseball, Susan.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, I called John yesterday because he has wanted Cody Bellinger here for so many years. Every year he wanted, and he finally gets him. And the Yankees finally get him, and he retires.
Oh, so, man. Oh, my God. He's definitely retired, by the way, right? Just to make sure?
Yes, he is, as far as I know.
So,
But
do you think, Susan, that whether, you know, the Yankees on paper, top three starting staff, top three pen, Judge, best player in baseball, Jazz for a full season, blah, 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 that the Yankees 1-9 and 1-25 could actually have a better team next year than last year? Because I do.
I do, too. I'm with you. Because don't forget, they have to remake this bullpen. And this was, you know, and I love Luke Weaver, and I hope he can repeat what he did last year, but how do you feel about having Devin Williams here? I mean, my goodness.
Phenomenal.
I mean, he's brilliant. So you've got a back end, you've got another starter, so you don't have to worry about that for a while. And I think the addition of Max Fried to this group, because he's very different, is spectacular. I really do. And, you know, this is a team. You know, this is supposed to be a team, and you can't always have a star everywhere. And this is nothing against Soto, nothing at all. And I loved watching him, and he was brilliant. I want to see a team. You know, I got here, the only ring of all the five I've got is 96. That's the only one I wear. Because that, to me, that was the first one, and that was the ultimate team. They became a team as the year went on. I like that kind of thing.
And their star, of course, is Judge. So it's not like they don't have a superstar.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, it's a little different, you know, when you have Aaron Judge in back of you. And it's, you know, it's fine. Whatever they want over there, that's fine. But this could be a really well-made team. And they do have people that are around. I told you, I think last time I was on, when NES has just gone on the air. So eventually we're going to get going here. Mm-hmm. No one is in it. Here comes Jason Zillow. They're walking in. So... and there's Aaron. Oh, Aaron Boone is here. He's got a jacket on, too. And he's got flowers that I guess he's giving to somebody I can't see. Brian Cashman is giving flowers. There's Max Fried. Oh, he's shaved everything off. And Devin Williams said he's got to keep it as long as he can. He hasn't had a beard in 6 years, he said. So Max Fried sitting in the middle. And left to right, Matt Blake, Aaron Boone, Max Fried, Brian Cashman. And I'll throw right now to Jason Zillow.
Afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Jason Zillow, and I'd like to welcome everyone to Yankee Stadium on behalf of the entire New York Yankees organization. I'd like to extend warm holiday wishes to everyone joining us today, including those on the YES Network, B Network, Yankees.com, and WFAN. The hot stove has definitely been cooking in the Bronx the last week or so. And today we officially introduce Max Fried, one of baseball's premier pitchers, to our media and our fans. There's plenty of numbers that illustrate Max's credentials, but there's one that's really pretty basic that shouldn't be brushed aside. In 2025, Max will be looking to pitch in the postseason for the 8th consecutive year. Even here in the middle of December, that's something everybody on the dais thirsts for. As we begin, I'd like to introduce the members of the dais that I just referenced. Starting to my far right, Matt Blake, Yankees pitching coach. Yankees manager Aaron Boone. Our guest of honor, Max Fried, who has a significant group of family and loved ones here today. We welcome all of you. As I said earlier, it's going to be the first of many times to Yankee Stadium. We also have the longtime senior VP and general manager of the Yankees, Mr. Brian Cashman. Before I turn this over to Brian, I'd like to acknowledge Max's representative, Ryan Hamill, and a large contingent of CAA people here, many of whom we've known for a very long time, so we welcome all of you as well. With those introductions in place, I'll turn it over to Brian Cashman.
Thanks for coming. We're excited to be here. You know, the job at hand always is to gravitate to some of the better baseball players in the game and bring them here for our fans to watch play on the biggest stage, we think, in baseball. And, you know, the effort is to put together the best team you can possibly do. And so I think, you know, when we started this winter program, you know, we saw the free agent opportunities out there, and Max Fried was at the very top of the list for us. He was someone that we've watched, obviously, from afar, what he's done. He's obviously tore us up on a few occasions, you know, pitching for the Braves. You know, kind of had a lot of dreams along the way of it'd be nice to have that lefty here in pinstripes if ever came to that opportunity ever came up. And we engaged, had great conversations with Ryan Hamill. We did a Zoom call with Max. You know, you see these players as competitors on the field doing what they do best. In front of big crowds, but you know, obviously it's important to get to know them a little bit, and our Zoom call closed the gap on that, so it kind of reaffirmed a lot of the conversations our scouts were providing with us with makeup and their connections with, you know, as well as me touching base with our players about people who know Max and how this fit would be. And the only question really in the end was, did he want us as well? There was a lot of competition in the end, and he had choices of where he wanted to lay his head for the coming years ahead. And we're excited that he wanted this opportunity. He wanted New York. He wanted to come here. And we're excited to have him join what is already, we think, a very formidable rotation. So, Max, welcome to the Bronx, and we look forward to adding to the mix as we move forward, too. With that being said, I'll turn it over to Aaron Boone.
Thanks, Cash. Max, congratulations. This is a big day for our organization. I know it's a big day for you and your family and Ryan and CAA. Echoing what Cash said, Max was at the top of the board for us. I can see his name on the board up there in our suite in Dallas. We had the opportunity though to talk with Max and his representation on a Zoom call, probably 90 minutes or so. And like Cash said, you want to kind of close that gap and get that feeling of, yeah, this is a fit. We know we're dealing with an all-star pitcher, a great pitcher, a track record of nothing really but success. But you want to feel like you have a connection, and you want to feel like he wants us too. And, you know, I know Matt Blake and I came off that call like, wow, okay. Like he's who we want him to be in that initial interaction. I'm really excited about what he's going to bring to our team, how he's going to fit in our room. And I think he's the kind of pitcher with what he's able to do with the ball and how many pitches he has and just his ability to evolve, I think is going to serve him and us very well throughout the life of this contract. Look, we're trying to chase down that championship, and we feel like we've added a championship piece to what, like Cash said, is already what we believe is an outstanding rotation. Max Fried, no doubt, adds to that mix, and we're thrilled to have him. We're thrilled to welcome him here, welcome his family here, and looking forward to a long line of success with him. But congratulations today, Max, and welcome to the New York Yankees.
Thank you.
Yep.
And now the proverbial, let's put the uniform on. Max is taking his jacket off. What number is he going to wear? Looks like 54. Number 54. He is clean shaven, by the way, in case anybody is wondering. Brian Cashman just said it looks good. Yes, it does. So Aaron Boone just gave him a Yankee cap, so now you're going to have some
yes,
photography going on. Welcome to the New York Yankees. Today you are a Yankee.
With that, I'd like to turn it over to Max and for any opening remarks he has, but welcome to the Bronx, Max.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. You know, it's an honor to be here, and I want to first thank Mr. Steinbrenner and the Steinbrenner family, Brian, Aaron, and Matt for being here, and the entire Yankee organization for welcoming me in. Might be up here alone, but obviously with my family and friends, I have so many people to thank, you know, for supporting me up to this point, and you know, just everyone from teammates, coaches, all of my friends back home and the ones that I've made along the way, my agent and agency in CAA who's been with me my whole entire career, and, you know, I mentioned them, but can't thank them enough. Of my family, just, you know, I wouldn't be here without you, your love and support, from the highs of highs and the lowest of lows, Little League to the big leagues. You guys were always there, and, you know, I love you guys a ton, so thank you so much. Being a baseball fan, you know what it means, or you just know the standard that the Yankees hold, and putting on the pinstripes is a certain responsibility and expectation that comes with that, and I'm extremely excited to take that on. And you know, last week when I was here and on the Zoom call, I was walking through the clubhouse, and there's three words that were there were three words that were put on, you know, up on the wall, and it's prepare, compete, and win. And I thought a lot about that. And to me, as a competitor, and just to me as a core, as a player, it really resonated with me. Because at the end of the day, you know, when before I take the ball, I'm going to prepare as best as I possibly can. When I get out there, I'm going to leave everything out there and compete to the best of my abilities. And at the end of the day, the one thing that we're out here to do is to win. And for me, I couldn't be more excited to be here, a part of the Yankees, and be a part of this organization. And I genuinely can't wait to get down to Tampa and get started. So thank you.
Thanks, Max. We have wireless mics on both ends of the room. Who has the first question? Go right here to the front.
Hey, Max. Chris Kirshner with The Athletic. Ultimately, why did you choose the Yankees?
As I kind of stated, it's winning's a big priority for me. And, at the end of the day, every single year, the Yankees come to spring training, the number one goal is to win a World Series. It's not to get to the playoffs. It's not to do anything besides hold up the trophy at the end of the year. And knowing that I was going to make a potentially long commitment, I wanted to be able to be in a place that I knew I was going to be able to win year in, year out. And, I love playoff baseball, and I love to be able to have meaningful baseball at the end of the year. And the Yankees are an organization that are going to do that year in, year out.
Go to Peter, all the way to the left.
Hi, Max. Peter Splendorio, New York Daily News. At what point in your free agency process did the Yankees become, in the mix? And what stood out to you about that initial Zoom call?
Yeah. Wow. I would say that the last however many weeks have kind of been a whirlwind, but I think initially I'd heard that the Yankees had interest, and I would say that I was fairly surprised at the beginning, but when the Yankees say that they're interested in you, you perk up and you listen. There's a standard, and it's an extremely storied franchise. So I was excited to hop on a call and be able to talk with the group up here, and I just felt like a lot of our values of what we value, and at the end goal was very similar, and it was very just down to earth, easy to talk to, and I felt really comfortable. So when going through the process, and when it came down to it, it just felt right.
Over to the right, Bruce. Do you have the microphone?
Yep. Max, welcome. Bruce Beck, NBC4 New York. What will it be like being in a rotation with Gerrit Cole?
I mean, he's one of the best pitchers of the generation. He's had a lot of success. He's in Cy Young runnings year in, year out, and he's an established superstar in this game. So for me to be able to be in a rotation and be able to pick his brain a little bit, I feel like there's only going to be benefits. So I'm excited to be able to sit and watch every single one of his starts.
Back to the left, Ron.
Hey, Max. Ron Blum from AP. Throughout your career, you've had a lot of these soft tissue injuries, blisters, and hamstring pulls. What have you done differently the last few years to try to keep healthy?
A lot of trial and error, I think. Being down in the South in Atlanta with the humid summers probably didn't help as far as just blisters and things to that extent, but the medical staff down there was fantastic in being able to help me figure out a routine that kind of works and be able to kind of mitigate all that. But at the end of the day, it's about trying to be as proactive as possible and not allowing something that's as minor as that being able to affect me going forward, and not planning on missing starts. So
we'll take a couple more. Laura on the left.
Hi, Laura Albanese from Newsday. A lot has been said about just playing in New York City. What do you think about that challenge, and is there any part of that that you look forward to?
I think personally, you know, it's the same game whether you're playing in any kind of, you know, whatever city you're in. It's still 60 feet 6 inches, and you're going up against another guy. There's just, you know, very passionate fans, and you know, I can control what I can control, and that's to go out there and leave everything out on the field and compete as best as I can every single time. And you know, at the end of the day, it's about getting the Yankees a win. And if I can go out there and put us in the best position to win, then I'm doing my job.
Take two more. Brian, right in front.
Hey, Max. Brian Hoke with MLB.com. You said that there's a certain responsibility in putting on the Yankee uniform. What are you feeling as you sit there right now wearing it for the first time?
You know, a sense of pride. a lot of people have worn these pinstripes, and you know, there's a certain feel, and you know, I'm excited about being able to put the pinstripes on in Yankee Stadium for the Yankees, and it's you know, it's one of the most storied winning franchises in sports, and you know, I want to be able to kind of do my part in adding to that.
Take a last one, Peter. All the way to the left.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Max. Peter Schwartz from WFAN. What are your thoughts on pitching in this ballpark? I think you've had one start here. Your thoughts on pitching here in the Bronx?
Extremely excited. There's no bigger stage than pitching in New York. And, you know, I've been here for a couple series. I got to throw my first time last year. I'm still looking to feel what that feels like to be able to throw under the lights, because I got a Sunday day game, so I'm really excited. But there's a different feel when you step into the stadium and you feel the energy and the buzz, and I can't wait to kind of feed off of that.
Max, welcome aboard and congratulations. Photogs, if you'll be patient with us, we're going to break down the tables and chairs, and we'll do a series of photos up here with Max and others. Thanks, everybody, for being here, and enjoy the rest of your day.
Okay, so they are now breaking up, and guys, you with me? BT and
yes,
Sally
yes,
there?
100%.
Okay, so we're going to get people as soon as I can't get up from this table, but I am told that they'll bring Cashman is here and Boone is here, and we'll get somebody in. The Yes Network is waiting for things. I think we can tell he's very, this is a serious young man. This is he knows what he wants. This is what I got, and you must have heard it. He knows what he wants. He wants to win, and it's really kind of interesting. He remembered that he pitched here on a Sunday afternoon, and he wants to pitch under the lights. It's kind of interesting what he was saying. This guy is dead serious about his craft, and gets a new pitch every year, I'm told, and mostly the fastball and the curve, but he likes to add something new to his repertoire every year. A lot of pitchers don't do that, and you know that. You remember that Carlos Rodon had to be convinced to stop just using the fastball and the slider. So this is kind of interesting. What did you get from listening to that?
Well, it's funny because in my notes, it's the first thing that I really wrote down, because I thought it really jumped out, and that's what you just said. He comes across as far more analytical than emotional.
Oh yeah,
which should serve him well. Let's face it, Susan, his stuff is filthy. So at this point, you know, it's about can he stay healthy, which has been a little bit of an issue, and can he handle the spotlight? Mm. And to me, the way he comes across with that analytical mind, I don't think he's going to deviate too far from his process when things go a little awry, and they go awry for everybody at some point. I love what I'm hearing. He's all business.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, you know, and you talk about can he handle New York? The guy's been with the Braves. He's pitched in 8 playoff series. I mean, he obviously can handle the postseason, and they're dead serious down there. You know, the pitchers there. I would love to, I hope I get, you know, they're taking pictures right now, and I know I'll talk to him. I want to know, I'm dying to know what his relationship with Chris Sale was, because all of a sudden Chris Sale comes down there, and you can learn a lot from a veteran. I know that he's not that much younger. What is he, 31 now? And Sale is 33, 34, maybe.
Yep.
Oh, he's older, I guess.
I think he's 35. But I
think that's fascinating. I also loved, and I remembered as he was talking, he and Giolito, and of course Jack Flaherty, they're still all best friends. And both Giolito and Fried were here when Jack Flaherty pitched against the Yankees and beat them. And so, can you imagine that high school team? I mean, the three of them on the same team. Did they ever lose a game? But they've still got that relationship. And when Giolito comes back, he's now with the Red Sox. So you've got a Yankee-Red Sox thing. You know, these two have known each other since they were kids. So, yeah, fascinating to me, the whole thing. That I hope that I can get Cash and Boone up here. I want to know why. Yes, Cashman, I guess, is coming to us. He was just mouthed, and I'm going to ask him, why was he number one? I can see why. I mean, we know the results, and we know what kind of pitcher he is when he's healthy. And I do have to put that in there. I love how he said, you know, sometimes the humidity in Atlanta and the heat does the blisters and things, and that is, you know, you're not going to get that much here. But this is, fascinating to me. I want to know why they wanted him number one and why it was on that board like that. But there's got to be a reason. But it's, I love someone who comes in here and is all business and just wants to win, et cetera.
I do still think the New York thing, there's nothing we get. I mean, he can say whatever he wants. We got to see him do it. And we saw what
right.
Carlos Rodon, you know, on paper, nasty stuff. And then all of a sudden in New York, when you handle adversity here, or when you face adversity here, as you know better than anybody, Susan, it's different. So we'll see with Fried. But for me, he would have been my top choice. I'm curious to get that answer as well. Why?
Well, here he comes, Brian Cashman. And we're going to ask him, hi, Cash. Put the little headset on here. And we ready to go here?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, here. We were just talking back thing. This guy immediately, and obviously I haven't met him, all business, wants to win, very serious. We know that he loves to tinker with pitches and do more and more every time. Why was he so high on your list? What did you see? We know the results, but what about him did you want so desperately? Because I've heard that name for a while now.
Yeah, he's obviously left-handed, the track record, our guys have watched him, over the course of time. He's got a 5-pitch mix. He's, since his amateur draft into the pro ranks, traded from San Diego to Atlanta, he keeps adding pitches. He keeps tinkering, learning from others, and evolving. And he's evolved into one of the game's better starters. And, he's kind of, reserved.
Very.
But on the mound, it's different. He's got real competitive juices. We've done a lot of deep dives on him, and I think he talked about it here just a little bit, where he was like, just let it all go out on the field, and he empties the tank, you know, and then in between, you know, he's just a regular guy. It was a really good interaction we had with him on the Zoom, you know, real genuine person. Feel like Booney had alluded to, he will fit really well in this clubhouse. And but anyway, all our recon was, this is a really good human being, one, really talented pitcher, two, and not afraid of the big stage, three. I felt certainly comfortable when the dust settled after we, you know, because we went all in on this. Obviously, it's a big contract. And but felt comfortable knowing who else was in on this, you know, after, with the dust settled, hearing how, you know, what the competition was.
Well, can you tell us what the competition was?
Me being able to verify with the opposing teams where they were at when it was done, and we officially had them pass the physical and stuff. All right, where were you guys at? You know, how close was this? And, you know, and I felt comfortable that, you know, we weren't on an island, and some of the other teams that, you know, certainly we're competing against, as well as some of the, you know, teams outside of our division, with also within our division, were on him. And I, you know, that made me feel at least that, all right, we're in a safe harbor of a lot of people seeing the same things.
Okay, a couple of things. One, there will be a really good third baseman standing there, right, when he's on the mound, because this is a ground ball pitcher, and it, you know, there's people, but there will be a pretty good third baseman standing there.
I feel
there.
Like we have one right now. Worst case scenario, I mean, Jazz Chisholm swung over and did a really phenomenal job doing something that was asked. You know, he's so athletic that he had never done. So at the very least, you'll have Jazz, and if not, you know, if there's something else that pushes Jazz over to second, that's the beauty of the talent of Jazz Chisholm, is he is an infielder. He can play the outfield. He can do a lot of different things. You know, we like him on the infield. So as of right now, we'll see how the winter plays out.
Okay, are you? And now, from what I'm gathering, you're still very busy, and there are other things that you want to get here. And is anything close to happening? Are you going to keep going, and this goes through all the Christmas holidays and everything?
I mean, we're still engaged. You know, we've done a lot of heavy lifting already, but you know, ultimately, you know, we want to put together the best we can within reason, and so, you know, I'm having conversations with free agents, I'm having conversation with opposing teams on trades, and then we also look from within. You know, we have our fallbacks, I think we've seen what some of our young kids have done as they've emerged, whether it's Volpe, a Clark Schmidt, or, you know, Austin Wells, or, you know, to name a few. And now you got some new ones pushing their way up, and Dominguez and Rice, and, you know, Oswaldo Cabrera wants to take a shot. DJ LeMahieu, you know, it's easy to forget about what he was.
Is he going to be healthy? Is he healthy now?
I would say he's without a doubt going to be healthy coming in spring training. He's had enough time. He's tried to do everything he can to address it, so there's still a curiosity about what he can provide potentially, and so I wouldn't rule that out either. So there's a lot of different things that can transpire, but ultimately, you know, the job right now is what's in front of us, what the opportunity, what true opportunities that we can match up with potentially. And it's hard to find matches, you know, and so, you know, we're going to talk about a lot of different players, both trade and free agents, but in terms of realistic options, you know, that's where that inventory gets pared down, and we'll see where it takes us.
You know, one of the things, and I'll ask you this for the last time, and I'll never mention it again, are you guys really convinced that you did all you could to get to keep Juan Soto in the Bronx?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we had, you know, we were, again, the dance step is always set by the free agents, you know, when we dance to their tune and take the, the suggestions from the agents about where things are and how they want to handle it. And we did everything we possibly could, have no, you know, second guesses, and, you know, he earned the right, you know, to go where he wanted to go, and he's made his decision. You know, congrats. We're happy we had him for the year we had him, at the very least. One of the game's great players, and he along with his teammates got us to the World Series. Unfortunately, we, you know, missed that opportunity to finish it off. So we're back at it, and we'll do it with a different crew.
And, okay, of course, that's some of the different crew, and I'll get to Bellinger in a second. Devin Williams, when he was on the Zoom the other day, I'm sure you know that he spent 10 days in New York after you made the trade. He spent 10 days here, and he went to museums. He went to MoMA, and he went to the Brooklyn Museum of Art, and he went to the Museum of Natural History, stayed in New York so that he could feel this team. You got as good a closer when he's healthy as there is in this league. I know it's hard to say goodbye to Nestor Cortez, but when you look at that, how good do you feel about Devin being here?
Well, I mean, it's certainly a big import, no doubt. We lost a lot. You know, we lost Holmes is a big loss out of our bullpen. He's now over, obviously, across town with the Mets in the rotation. But we lost. You know, right now we have free agencies that have Hill, Canely, Holmes, all these guys got big outs for us in the postseason. I might be missing somebody. If I am, forgive me. So then trying to backfill all that. And so, you know, Weaver has emerged and did a great job, and obviously allowing Williams to come in here with this trade, which was a difficult decision to make, you know, because we gave up a lot to get a lot, we hope. And hopefully it works out for both teams. But, yeah, obviously this, when he's right and healthy, which we think he is, then, you know, he should help us secure some outs at the most important time of the game.
Okay, I love the whole, and you were here when Clay was here, and so this is you and me and Michael Kay, who are there now, father and son. Cody Bellinger, I know you've been looking at him for a long time, and he's been rooming here for a long time. Really great defensive player, can play center, can play first. What do you expect from him, and how happy are you that you had got him? What's going to be like for you with the son of a player that was pretty important here for a while?
I actually feel young, but the fact of the matter is I acquired, you know, his dad,
yep,
back in the late 90s. And so now I've acquired a son. That's kind of crazy just to think about. But listen, Cody Bellinger provides us, you know, it's a perfect fit. He's got a nice uppercut swing here for Yankee Stadium, where most of our home games are at. You know, the way this place is configured, you can't forget now that the Rays are playing at Steinbrenner Field down in Tampa. So that's another, you know, same type of configuration, because that ballpark is exactly the same dimensions as our ballpark. So that's a little extra. It's more than just 81 games where that swing potentially could play. And so at the end of the day, you know, we have vacancies in the outfield, vacancies at first base. He protects us, you know, whether we fill those or not, from internal or not. He protects us with injuries if things happen. It just gives, you know, Booney some more flexibility. So he's very athletic and can steal bases. He's an above-average defender on the infield and the outfield at first and the outfield. And so, and, you know, he's going to, you know, give us a little bit more thump, you know, we hope, and, you know, we'll see. Yeah, so we had a lot of conversations. It makes sense. Glad, you know, Cubs got what they needed. We got what we needed, but again, the job is to continue to figure the rest of it out.
You know, you talk about, and we're waiting for Max, and we'll have Max Fried on here in a few minutes. And one of the things, I was at a dinner a couple of weeks ago, and Spencer Jones was there, and he was being honored, and he told me that, and we kind of forget about who is down there, and that, and people that are coming through the system. Spencer told me that he and Ben Rice were going down to Tampa, and they've got a place that they're going to stay and start working out right at New Year's, because they want to get to their next level too. So we sometimes forget that these, and Ben Rice, you know, did a nice job. I know he had some hitting problems as it went, but this is kind of interesting. We kind of forget that you do have a minor league system down there.
Yeah, and I think it's been producing for us, and I think Rice actually, you know, his hitting profile is better than the ultimately normal results that you watch. So there, the underlying stuff shows he had a little bit more impact, or could have more impact, and, you know, he might not be as far away as people think. So he could very well man first, depending on how this winter plays out, or we could import something. It just depends how the conversations go, but you know, we'll see. You know, so, you know, I think our player development side's done a nice job. Our amateur side, pro, and I mean, amateur domestic and amateur international, done a nice job of onboarding some stuff, and we'll see where it all takes us.
Okay.
Ultimately, it takes a whole group, and I like the group we're collecting, you know, and we need more.
I do have one more question. How hard a conversation was it with Nestor?
It wasn't easy, you know, because I know he loved being a Yankee, and he did a great job, including, you know, pushing the limits to get back to try to do everything he could to help this team in the postseason, which ultimately I think he publicly spoke to as a dream of his, to help us win a World Series. And we got close. You know, we put him in a, you know, it was a difficult spot to be in, but, you know, that just, you know, it's just how it all played out. No one could get Freddie Freeman out in the postseason, at least in our postseason with him. So, you know, Freddie was clicking against everybody. But at the end of the day, it was hard. It's not easy, because Nestor obviously was beloved down below and beloved by our fans.
Okay, we're going to have another one of these soon?
I don't know.
Well, so, okay.
But let me turn it over to someone you'd rather talk
okay.
to.
Okay. No, I always love to talk to you. Okay, thank you, Brian Cashman. And there he is, the man of the hour, Max Fried. Hi, I'm Susan Waldman. Nice to meet you. Here's your... That, okay.
Let me throw these on.
Okay, there you go. You look like you're 12 without your mustache. And
I know. I've been told that actually it was really funny. I texted Cody Bellinger last night, and we were talking about how we both are going to look like we're teenagers. So.
Brian Cashman and I were talking about, because I was here when Clay was here, and he traded. He went and got Clay Belgium, so it's kind of interesting. Something you said in the press conference, before we get to that, I've been wanting to ask you for years. I saw you with Giolito, and when you went to see your buddy Jack Flaherty pitch against the Yankees. You guys have stayed friends since high school. Did you guys ever lose those games in high school? Did you lose any games, the three of you on the same staff?
So I transferred over my senior year of high school, the school that I was at that shut down, so I was able to transfer.
To Harvard-Westlake.
And then I transferred to Harvard-Westlake, and unfortunately, at the beginning of that season, Lucas got hurt. So Lucas injured his elbow and was shut down for the whole season, and it actually was the emergence of Jack pitching. Because Jack was a third baseman, shortstop, and then we needed a need, and he started pitching and was one of the best high school pitchers that I've ever seen.
Okay, so. Well, that's great. I'm glad you cleared that, because I thought the three you pitched, 1, 2, 3, I said they never probably lose. Tremendous that you're all still friends and everything. When Lucas gets back, he's going to be just to the north, and you're
exactly.
going to have another Yankee resident. You know you're wearing Goose Gossage's number, right?
I do.
Number 54. Okay.
I do.
You had said in the press conference you were a little surprised that the Yankees were so interested. I knew it was number one for a long time. You've been on people's board for a long time. Why were you surprised?
I think that, you know, they have a really great rotation, and, you know, I guess you don't know who's interested until you're a free agent, right? So all I'd really known was being with the Braves, and at that time, you know, being a free agent and hearing that the Yankees were interested, it was just more of like, oh, I didn't expect to be someone that they would want to target. So it was just more of a, you know, uncertain, but, you know, definitely happy and, you know, excited that they were.
Because you're different than everybody else, and, you know, the best at what you do. I always found it fascinating, you know, obviously the great fastball and the great curve, but you seem to have a little bit of, you tweak things. The word, Matt Blake, the pitching coach, is standing over there. He loves the words tweak. We're going to tweak things. And they have like a laboratory down there. So there's a little more. Did you talk to him? Was he a part of this, of why you signed here?
Absolutely. You know, the ability to have that lab and to make those minor adjustments was definitely a high selling point of being able to fine tune and you know, get just a little bit more consistent, whether it's pitch shapes or whatever that may be, but that definitely was a big reason.
There are so many things. Before we get to who is here now, I did want to ask you about Chris Sale, because when he walks in that clubhouse, one of my favorite people ever, and when he walked in that clubhouse, I would imagine that you two got along really well, and you probably had a lot to say to each other. What do you learn from a guy like Chris, who's been through a lot? I mean, a lot.
I have nothing but the utmost respect for him. You know, to be the caliber of pitcher that he was for, you know, the first part of his career, of just being as dominant as he was, and then to go through the rough injury history that he had and all the work and the hard work that he had put to be able to be healthy and to get back and to see the success, and then it culminate in a Cy Young, of just being able to kind of give that to him. Being able to witness that, to see the hard work that he has in between starts and his mentality, you're able to, you know, understand why he had and has the success that he has in his career. So to be able to sit there and get to know him as a person, and, you know, his family and his kids, and be able to also see the competitor that he is on the field, you know, it definitely rubs off on you.
Okay, off to the Yankees. Now, you're number one pitcher, Gerrit Cole, got Cy Young, the Rookie of the Year, Luis Gil, Carlos Rodon, Max Fried, and probably Neil Stroman is there, and Clark Schmidt. Everybody's a little bit different. And how does it feel for you? You've been in some pretty good rotations, but how does it feel to be in this rotation? And have you talked to Gerrit? You guys are from the same area. You could have gone to UCLA. He did. Have you talked to anybody here?
Yeah, I've had a couple guys reach out and been really nice and welcoming. But, you know, it's nice being able to slip into a rotation where you know that every single time that someone takes the ball, that you have a really good chance to win that day. And it kind of injects, you know, some energy and life into the team. And, you know, I've been able to talk to Garrett a little bit, you know, reaching out. He reached out when I signed and be able to talk to him, and definitely I'm looking forward to sitting down with him and just getting to pick his brain and, you know, see what he's
got.
He
loves to do that. He doesn't just talk a little bit. He talks a lot.
Sounds good.
Has Judge or anybody, have you talked to Aaron? Of course, I'm sure he did.
Yeah, he reached out. He actually reached out just before I came on, so it was really nice. He's been extremely welcoming and, you know, completely wonderful.
And I love that you loved that the words that were in that clubhouse, because as years and years ago, this is from way back from George Steinbrenner. If you don't win here, it's like a failure. That might be a little strong, but you seem to have that kind of mentality.
Yeah, fortunately for me, I've had a lot of really good veterans that prioritize winning over personal accomplishments, and you know, whether it's the accolades or. You know, it doesn't matter if you go for four, if you go and you give up five runs. If we come out with a win that day, that's the only thing that matters, and we move on, you know, because it's the team over yourself.
And American League East is a little different than any place else. It's usually top to bottom, a lot of hitters, the parks are smaller. Any trepidation about that at all?
No. You know, for me, I feel like I had a pretty competitive division in the NL East for a while, you know, especially the last handful of years, and you know, there was never really a game off. So you got to know that every time you take the ball, that you got to bring your A game and leave it all out there.
Okay, who do you know here? Do you know have you?
I don't think I've played with anyone on the team. I could be wrong, but as far as playing so far on the team currently, I'm not 100% sure.
Well, you look great without the mustache.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you.
And I now think it might come back
and
a little bit.
Well, a little bit. Okay. Give it to you. Now you look sort of like your pitching coach. Who,
yes.
This is the first time we've ever seen him in a suit and tie, Matt Blake.
Wow.
Max, welcome to New York.
Thank you so much.
See
really
you in spring
it.
Training.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Matt Blake is going to come over here. We've got a lot of... Thank you, Max. Matt Blake, pitching coach. Serious young man. That's terrific. We love that.
That's right.
Don't
that's
we
right.
You know what? When Roger Clemens came over here, this Matt Blake pitching coach, when Roger Clemens came over here, first thing out of Mel Stottlemyre's mouth to me was, boy, I just became a much better pitching
There's
coach.
No doubt about that.
Max Fried just walked in the door and has a Yankee uniform on.
Absolutely. You know, that is cash always makes us look smarter when he brings guys like that in.
Well, what is it about him? Because he just told us that he was really looking forward to this pitching lab and tinkering and all those kinds of things. What is it like to have someone that is like that, that's really important here?
Well, I think with Max, he can do so many different things with the baseball. He's got, you know, seven different pitches, and I think the ability to put some information in front of him about what makes those pitches good, how do we keep them the best version of those pitches, maybe where are some rooms to adapt, and I think that's maybe something he hasn't been as exposed to, which is kind of our wheelhouse, so I think it's a good match there.
Okay, the one thing, and one of the things I sort of made light of last year when the bullpen the bullpen blew up and Matt Blake put it back together and things. Well, it's not blown up, but there are people that are gone.
Right.
Now, obviously, Devin Williams is a big part of this. But what is everybody else that's left? And of course, there are people that are free agents that were here that we hope are back. But when you look at that, are there people in the minor leagues that can take those that will be vying for those spots, or does everybody go into different roles now?
Well, I think obviously at the back end you've got Williams and Weaver, which is a good combo to start with. Obviously, we need to get Ian Hamilton to stay on the field more consistently this year. He can be a big weapon for us. You know, Leiter came on strong in the postseason, and we want to build on that. I think that was great to see how he handled those moments. Clayton Beater's a guy that obviously stands out as maybe didn't get a lot of opportunities with us, but has the ability to, you know, be a higher leverage guy with some swing and miss. So that's a guy we got to build into the mix. And I think just going forward, like getting Loaisa back could be, you know, huge for us. It's a guy that we've really loved having, can throw a lot of different innings for us, and one of the best right-handers in the league when he's right.
Well, when he's right is a big thing, because he's hurt a lot. Is that something that you guys took into account with him? You expect him to stay healthy? Because he hasn't been healthy since he's been here.
Yeah, I mean, he had the 22 where he had a really good run with us.
Right.
Last year, obviously, missed quite a bit of time just the first weekend, but, you know, I think getting the elbow right with surgery and doing a thorough job with the rehab. I think not rushing him back in will be important, and making sure he's got a good base when he's ready to come and pitch for us in Yankee Stadium.
Well, and the interesting now, you look at this rotation, and you can never have too much pitching, I understand, but right now there's too much pitching. So obviously Clark Schmidt showed what he can do. Marcus Stroman, other things that he can do. Can he be back and forth, a kind of swing guy if he's still here? I don't know what they're going to do, but can you see roles for everybody that's here?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we haven't had those conversations yet. It's nice to have the idea that we'll have six healthy starters going into camp, and then, you know, ultimately what you break with will determine, you know, who's in the rotation versus the bullpen. But I do think, you know, those guys, if it comes down to it, do have the ability to go to the pen and impact us that way as well. Time will tell. Obviously, we got to get there, and, you know, having six starters is a blessing right now.
What was your feeling when you heard that Max Fried was going to sign here? I'd like the first impression from the pitching coach when someone like this walks in the door.
It's a good pivot. That's a good start. So I think I really like Max. The fact that he's, you know, such a good competitor, he's got a track record of success of the team that's gone deep in the postseason. I think that the fact that the Zoom call did go well, and it resonated for, I think, everyone on the call, that this could be a good match, and there's some opportunity for a guy with as much pedigree as he has of performing, that there's room to grow and get better with us, which is important.
When you talk to him, and everybody talks about, can he play in New York? This wouldn't even enter my head, just talking to him and seeing what's important to him pitching, that he could pitch in this place.
Yeah, I think he just seems like a steady personality, you know, very, you know, serious in his demeanor. I feel like the thing that I liked most is he attacks the strike zone, and he minimizes contact quality. So, you know, playing in this park, that's important. And I think in this league, too, you know, having a lefty that can get both lefties and righties out, we get a lot of platoon matchups that, you know, he's going to get, you know, 7-8 righties. So, I do think he's flexible in how he goes after hitters, which is important.
Well, we're going to be the last people in this room, so I think I'll let you go get the lunch. Matt Blake, thank you very much. Merry Christmas.
Yeah,
Happy New Year. Happy holidays. We'll see you in Tampa.
All right. Sounds good. See you guys.
All right. So I think this is wrapping up here. Sal,
yes.
BT, you guys here? You have any questions?
We've been enjoying
questions
everything.
For me?
We've been enjoying everything, Susan. I mean, look, for me, the one thing, and maybe we'll have a chance to talk to Fried ourselves here, but I guess two questions that I would have had. One, you know, how was Kyle Tucker realistic for the Yankees, and would Brian Cashman have to give up Heel? And maybe you could shed some insight to that. And two, I'm just curious how Max Fried's going to do in New York. He pitched well against the Mets. He was part of that great race in 2022. He seems to be into it here. But, I mean, I guess until you put on the pinstripes and go out there and pitch for the Yankees and the pressure of that, how will we ever know?
Well, you'll see that. Listen, pitching for Atlanta in the playoffs, I mean, there was never, I don't have any question about can he handle New York. This is a very serious man who knows what he's doing, and comes from a pretty good, I wouldn't worry about. I don't worry about that at all. The only thing I would worry, can he stay healthy? And that is, something that obviously do you want to come over here, Mr. Boone? Can he come? Can I have Mr. Boone here?
Tell him we said hello.
Yeah, Boney.
You can say hello to him. This is
hello.
Hello.
What's
up,
What's up? Hey, I want to play that baseball card game with you guys and wax you in that game.
All right, no, we want to set that up, Boone. So
we're good at it, Aaron.
We're ready when you are. Go ahead.
He's very good at this, by the way. He doesn't lose.
We're pretty good too. I'll
be honest with you. See about that.
Oh, okay. Your opinions about this. Sal and Beachy just wanted 5 minutes with Max Fried, and any question about can he handle New York just goes right out of your mind, right?
Yeah, look, I'm so excited today. I mean, we're getting a frontline guy that I think has what's been cool to see over the years is to see how he's evolved his repertoire and has the ability to add and subtract to his arsenal. I think that's going to serve him well in the long term. But in the short term, we're getting one of the game's great aces and you know, the intangible stuff, a guy that fields his position incredibly well, I think is going to be really good in our room. And just watching him the couple times he's faced us and, you know, seeing him over the years, like, you see a very soft-spoken, serious kid that's a little bit reserved, but he's a lion between the lines. This guy competes.
One of the things that he told me, he loves the idea of the of how Matt Blake with the pitching, all the stuff, and he said it was very important to him. And I've only got 4 minutes with you, I was told, because then you have to go to yes. BT, yes. Do you have a question for the manager?
Yeah, well, first of all, I think it's been a great offseason so far. I got to be honest with you, Aaron. Fried is terrific.
We love building teams. BT and I are there. We love building teams.
Yeah, and I would like to know, the moves so far by Cashman have been very, very good. I believe there's more coming. But I think I'd be remiss if we didn't ask for the audience how much you'd have missed Juan and how surprised are you that he's not coming back?
Yeah, look, I loved Juan. Getting to manage him, I say this sometimes, and I always say it in this way, like, because I don't like to say this about another person, but it's like he was very low maintenance for being such a star player. He was easy to coach. I could get on him, and he took it well and applied it. He was great in our room. So, of course, we wanted him back. Of course we're going to miss him and the player he is. But the other thing is, look, you're never going to build a perfect team, right? But there's also different ways of going about it. And every offseason presents different challenges. You don't know where they're going to go because how you match up with a certain player, how you match up with a team, potentially with trades. But there's no question in my mind that we're building towards a team that's going to have a chance to compete for a championship. And then that's on us once we get down to Tampa to make sure we're doing everything necessary to put ourselves in a good position. So I like how it's going so far, too.
What's the next thing you would like to see done? If there's one thing off the top of your head.
No, but
you got to know what he does. If somebody doesn't come, well, this guy can do it, and it'll be fine. See,
yeah.
This is Aaron Boone.
Look, I don't think all these things I'm seeing out there in the public are going to happen. I don't think there's this endless supply of things. But, you know, I'd like us to hopefully go out and maybe get another right-handed hitter. But I'm also – one of the things I'm really excited about is the pieces we've added. I think we're going to see a big move forward with some of our young guys that we saw emerge last year. I think Anthony Volpe's going to go to another level offensively. We're going to get a full year of Austin Wells. Jason Dominguez now in the mix. Maybe a Ben Rice fits in the – so there's – I'm excited about a few of the guys that I think are going to take a step forward that hopefully you know, allow us to go to another level as a club.
Okay, and now I'm getting a bad look from Mike Margolis because Aaron Boone now has to go to yes. So thank you. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. We'll
thank
see you
guys.
In Tampa.
Yeah, let's do that card game.
You got it, but you're going down, Booney. You're going down, buddy.
He never does. Okay, he's going to finish up with yes here. And we're the last ones left in this press conference room. So anything you'd like to ask before we wrap up here?
Yes, Susan, I was just reading about this, and obviously, you know, Boone had to leave here, but apparently he just said, I don't know, I didn't hear this during the press conference, maybe I missed it, he said it's fake news that Bellinger's been told he's going to play center, so first base, left field, and center field, all possibilities for him?
Yes, absolutely, because he can do all three, and now see, this all depends on whether somebody else emerges. Jason Dominguez, before he left here, the last person I talked to after the World Series loss was Jason Dominguez in the hallways, because he was around, and he told me, and he has said the whole time that he is a center fielder. I'm a much better fielder than this. And he was going to work all winter on his fielding, whether it's left field. Cody can play anywhere, so you can do that. What I do, I don't know what Boone said, but if you see Aaron Judge any place except right field, unless there's an emergency, you have a scoop here. But I think they could think in both places. Maybe Jason Dominguez comes in and just wins this job and turns into what we thought he was going to be or is going to be, and he is better in center. Cody doesn't care. He can play left. He can play center. He can also play first base. I think they've got other ideas mm-hmm. for that, but I don't think he's been told you're your center fielder. I'm sure he is a very versatile player, and I think they're going to use that.
Yeah, I think that you're right. Ideally, for me, you get Walker who could pick it and could hit. You keep Bellinger in center who could get it. You let Dominguez ease in as the left fielder. I got a question for you. It's a quick one.
Yeah?
And it's not incredibly important, but I love the numbers and I love the history. Only so many numbers to go around for the Yankees here. So number 54, Goose had it, as we know. Chapman had it for a minute. Jay Buhner back in the day. Does 54 look good on him? You're in the room?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Anything would look good on this one. Yeah.
Huh. No. Interesting. Okay. Hey, we'll take it to a Broadway show, Susan.
Well, probably. definitely not our town, right? do you know who I think, you know who else? I think Dale Mahorsick had 54.
Oh, which I remember him, the horse,
Do you know Dale Mahorsick? Do you know why I remember that?
Why?
Because when he put the uniform on, he started to cry.
Okay.
At his press conference or whatever they had, because he was so moved by having a Yankee uniform on. I remember things like that. I also remember he gave up home runs at alarming regularity.
Yeah, that's when we were crying.
but I remember when he put it on. I remember, and I believe he was 54. I believe that.
Yeah, I just looked it up real quick. He did wear 54.
But to a lot of us, it's Goose Gossage's number, and he knew, which I was glad about.
Well, what's the deal with this facial hair policy, Susan? Like, come on.
Oh, stop. I'd leave it alone.
Why? It's 2025. Like, guys want to wear facial hair. They feel comfortable. If I had to shave my beard, I would feel insecure because I've gained some weight and I don't feel like myself. If somebody wants to go out
there... Well, that's why we're not signing you to a $217 million contract.
All right, but what about Devin Williams, who feels comfortable in his beard? Like, if you look good, feel good, play good.
Oh, so he's not gonna pitch well because you're making Devin Williams shave off his beard.
Maybe.
Come on. Stop it. Just stop it.
I'm just saying.
Give me a break. It's almost Hanukkah and Christmas and the New Year's. I like it because there should be some rules, because then it goes too much. People run amok.
No facial hair and no sweets at the game for players. We got it.
No. if you find sweets in anybody's locker room, look under people's cushions in the locker. There's plenty of sweets.
No. I mean the sweets like, soda.
Those kinds of sweets. You're making $760 million by your own friggin'
That's
sweet.
Right.
Come on.
Exactly. 100%, Susan. Enough of the nonsense.
What, are you kidding me?
Yeah. Oh, that was fun.
Hey, quit begging, Ron. Okay. Go to Queens.
Great job.
It's done. We're over. Have a nice time with Grimace and the purple thing and all of that.
And don't forget about don't forget about the Temptations. Everything else. All the other gimmicks they got out there in Queens.
We love Juan Soto. It's over. Get over it. We're building a different kind of team, okay?
There we go. Thank you, Susan. That was tremendous.
Top rope, Susan.
Happy holidays, Susan, of course.
Happy holidays. Happy New Year.
There you go.
Great job.
She's awesome, we'll talk to you soon. She's been terrific for us.
The best. Yep. But I must say.
What?
Does sound a bit scorned at Soto. Like, she's moving on and love building teams, and I get that part of it, too.
You think she sounds scorned?
Juan Soto, you'll have fun with Grimace and all that stuff. Those are...
She's just saying, enjoy what you got, and we'll enjoy what we got.
Sometimes, all kidding aside, sometimes the best decisions are the ones that are taken out of your hands. Yankees tried to get Juan Soto.
Yeah.
He said no. They had no choice but to go to Plan B or C, whatever you want to call it. Maybe in the long run, it turns out best for him. They tried to make that decision to bring him back. He said no. Okay, out of your control. Sometimes those turn out to be the best decision.
Yeah, and by the way, I would have loved to have asked Cashman a question. I'm going to tell you what I would have asked him in a moment. But for those who are wondering, Bodie knows about the baseball card game. He's been trying to get us to play that. He told Evan and Tiki twice when they were out at the stadium, hell, tell those guys I want to play. I'll beat them. I like what they do. So we're going to set that up at some point during the season.
Are we?
We are. Well, whether it's down in Tampa, whether it's at the stadium, we'll do the whole video. It's definitely going to happen.
What year you think Boone would? It was weird. We didn't have him on, obviously. Susan was interviewing, so we jumped in, I know, a little bit. But I would have liked to ask him what years would be his wheelhouse.
Probably mid-80s. He's right around 52, 53, something like that.
He's probably with you more so your wheelhouse. Go back a little before where I'm like 86 is pushing it.
Yeah. You're more 88, 89.
Yeah, 87, 88, 89. I'm familiar with those more.
I do think he's going to be good at everything. By the way, the thing that I would have wanted to know from Cashman, and who knows if he would have been completely honest, I don't know. But I think this is maybe the most interesting thing that we'll never really fully know. If the Yankees did get Soto, would it have been Soto plus, what? Would it have been Soto plus Bellinger, Soto plus Walker, Soto plus Fried, Soto plus a third baseman?
I doubt Bellinger because you just have a gluttony of outfielders there.
Oh, you could have put him at first.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Could have put him at first.
Another lefty bat then at first. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He was making, 20-something million, 25 million or whatever, 27
million.
22
and a half because the Cubs ate the five.
See, we'll see where the Yankees end up total was. Right now, the money is Fried and Bellinger versus Soto. So we're kind of...
No, it's actually, that's not true. You split it three ways. It's Fried, Bellinger, and it's Devin Williams.
Equates
to a little bit less than Soto's AAV with the Mets.
Oh, hold on a second.
It does. It's 40. I just saw it.
I just had the info here.
It's like 48, whatever it is to...
Well, first of all, Williams is a trade.
No, I understand, but you still have to throw that on the payroll. It's still going to affect everything.
Let's see here. This is according to Joe DiMeo. I saw this out there. Freed, 27.25. Bellinger, 24, including the $2.5 million kicked in by Chicago. So it's 51 million, let's say, for Freed and Bellinger, and 51 for Soto.
I saw something different. I don't know. All I know is all three guys equate to a little bit less than Soto's this year. Either way, I love what the Yankees did. I don't think that they're done.
Right, but the
you
point
got
is,
your guys, so good.
The point is, either way, they basically spent the same amount as they would have on Soto, and they still have work to do.
Correct.
So it would have been Soto. And by the way, Cashman just said it himself. Like, we lost Clay Holmes. He's right. Williams is not in addition to what they had. It's in place of what they had.
Yeah, but now Luke Weaver replaces Clay Holmes in Clay Holmes' role once he bonds as the closer.
Right.
That's where you scratch that.
All right, but how do we know what Luke Weaver is?
How do we know what Clay Holmes is going to be? Well, we don't know anything.
He was a two-time All-Star.
Luke Weaver's filthy. I mean, it's...
come on now.
You want to actually... I'm not going to debate this. I'm
not going to debate it. Luke Weaver a two-time All-Star. Clay Holmes was he was an all-star with the Yankees last year. By the way,
and he lost his role because he couldn't throw a strike.
And then he bounced back. I know, but Luke Weaver, what do we know about him? And what's proven about
him? I know
he
throws 99. He's got balls of steel. That's what I know.
And Devin Williams, I saw his balls of steel get ripped over the wall in right field in Milwaukee.
Right, fantastic. So you're going to hang on one pitch? Or how about the meat of his work?
No, I'm just saying, the point is, BT, bullpens are fickle. The Yankees, Brian Cashman said it himself. Like, there's not me saying it as an anti-Yankee thing.
No, I don't care what Cashman said. I'm telling you what I see.
Right.
Luke Weaver is filthy. Devin Williams has been great. And if it works out the way it should, Yankees bullpen's going to be untouchable.
Right,
that's got to work out.
Just like last year, Verdugo was going to be great, and the Yankees
but
you said the same thing.
So everybody, I mean, you sound ridiculous right now.
Because I know
that you've seen Devin Williams pitch, and I know that you've seen Luke Weaver pitch.
I like that.
If you want to debate how good they are, continue the conversation with yourself.
But I'm also
because it's ridiculous.
But I'm also saying Clay Holmes left. Like that's
no kidding.
Oh, but you're making it like it's not a big deal. Where he's literally
it's not a big deal.
How is that not a big deal? Was he not an All-Star last year? I don't understand.
Was he an All-Star as a closer?
He was an All-Star twice for the Yankees.
As a closer?
Oh, what's the difference now?
Well, the difference is,
as a matter of fact, in the
he
first
couldn't hold on to his job.
You're right. We're going in circles here.